Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones leading our discussion today on how to have a plan. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Hi, Shelley.
So you are kind of the plan guru, right?
Because I'm a wind fire, I am really drawn to plans because the fire is drawn to plans because it gets results, and the wind gets results, and the wind is drawn to plans because it's not our strength, so we know we need them.
I see. Well, you've written several books on mission, purpose, strategy, focus, culture, all those kinds of things. And here again in this book, Jesus Life Coach, you are again reminding us here in the focus section what it means to have a plan. And, of course, this whole book is about Jesus as your coach. And you start out in this chapter with a great statement here. A wise coach understands that not everyone can be handled the same way, nor will all people respond to the same incentives. That's a great coach, right?
Right.
So talk to us a little bit about this kind of plan for a person's life. If you're the coach and you're meeting with a client, and how do you get these people thinking about the plan for their life, the purpose that God has for them? How does that all unravel?
Well, the concept of an individual education plan, an IEP, is actually something I learned from you back when you were doing your speech pathology. You had your speech pathology business, and you would have to meet with the parents and the teachers, and this was for special needs children, right? And it struck me as kind of sad. I mean, I was glad that special needs children had an individualized education plan, but it made me think, what about the rest of the kids? Because education system is so much one size fits all, and Jesus knew that he just didn't treat everybody the same way. He treated Peter differently than he treated John, and there's even a passage I quote in there where Peter gets upset because he tells John something, and Peter wants him to tell him the same thing, and Jesus says, what does it matter to you what I say to them? You need to concentrate on what I'm saying to you.
Sure.
So the notion that everything is custom-made, and I also say in the chapter that they've found that even clones aren't totally the same, that there's something at the last minute that turns anything into an individual. It's that spark of divinity, that spark of uniqueness, that spark of oneness, whether it's a snowflake or a person being born into the world, there is something in us that makes us one of a kind. So why would we have the burlap bag, one size fits all, religion or approach to life? And I think that's what coaches do, is they bring out the best in you, the talent that's in you, and they deal with all the neuroses that sometimes attach themselves to those talents.
Wow, that's quite a lot to think about. When I have a plan in front of me, or I hear people talking about a plan or a strategy, you know, there's quite a few things that go into that. And they're not generally at the surface. They're generally deeper thoughts embedded into our past and how we were shaped, our families, our education, our all kinds of intricacies that surround us and our person. So if you're working with me on this plan, how do we get to this place of movement in coaching people, in focusing people? Do we start with the mission? Do we start with personality? Do we start with let's have coffee and tell me your vision?
Well, I think it's all wrapped up in relationship. And that's why the word coach, it implies a relationship as opposed to a professor or a lecturer, or someone who is on a stage speaking to an audience. The coach is sitting beside you, is walking alongside you, is watching you when you're on the field.
Sure.
So there's an implied connection that might not be there in other areas. And I think it's so important for people to understand the different personality types, because that's going to totally dictate how they define success,
right,
and how they approach success, what their values are. And if if you're going to coach a water type individual, you're going to come at it slowly and around the edges and get to know them. If you're with a fire person, they're going to want to get to the bullet points,
mm-hmm,
right away.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with the wind, they might be talking about one thing and then interject something about the little boy trying to catch butterflies on the front porch. And, it's just that trying to follow them, trying to track the wind is going to be a challenge. And then with the earth, they might seem to be stuck in the status quo, or they might not show their emotions, so you don't know what they're thinking,
mm-hmm,
as you try to draw them out. So if you innately go into it with the understanding of the personality types, you're going to be so much more effective. It's like a dog trainer. If you know that Chihuahuas are not natural swimmers, you're not going to be trying to teach them to fetch a frisbee across a lake, even though they're a dog.
Sure.
So I think that this customization of an intellectual approach to how people respond to their life,
mm-hmm,
I think is very valuable, and that's why we've dedicated so much of our time to helping bring that into the world in different ways.
Well, and as you pointed out, an individualized plan that's used in education, if that were used with all students, what would that look like? And it's kind of there, at a different level. But if you apply it to teams and organizations or churches or, nonprofits or, how does that work when you have, I have kind of an idea of how it works in churches, but how does that work in business?
Well, the leader generally sets the pace for the culture. So if you have a fire, wind leader, things are going to be expected to be done in double time,
mm-hmm,
quick. If you have a water leader, then they're going to be more relationship-oriented. They're going to move more slowly. They're going to think about things from multiple angles. So people are people, whether it's in business or church or in,
mm-hmm,
across industries. Personalities are still prevalent in decision-making.
Sure.
So understanding that is how you go into it. And we have a great tool, the Elemental Team Challenge,
right,
which answers 28 questions, and it'll tell you if your team is basically a wind-fire team, for example, that is actively releasing,
mm-hmm,
but it's low in the earth and water, so it's actively releasing untransformed product, people, or services into the community. So this is a real tool, and I think people can access it on our website. But teams have a culture.
Sure.
And you need to get into it and understand it in order to make change.
Yeah. Do you have to become part of the culture in order to change it?
Well, I think you need to respect it. And respect means listening,
mm-hmm,
and laying down your agenda. I think of the National Geographic guy that wanted to photograph alligators,
mm-hmm,
and became an alligator and went into the alligator pond, just gently
gained. He became an alligator?
Yes. He instead of taking, long-distance pictures or whatever, he wanted to get pictures at him at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
So he put on his little alligator outfit and then slowly eased into the water. And if they got too close, he would just kind of gently push them away with a stick. But his perspective of how alligators think is going to be totally different from someone who's using a long-range lens.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, oh, well, objectifies them,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to someone who incorporates them into their own consciousness.
Well, because I know you often say culture trumps strategy, and we see that on many levels in our society and people that we work with. And, I think that's why, change is slow,
mm-hmm,
for the most part. When is change quick?
Well, change is all around us, and I know there's situations we're both familiar with when some man stood up in a church and he said, I don't want my church to change.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's been there 29 years. Well, the church has changed around him. People have died and left. People, families have grown. People have gotten married. The pastor has changed. They put in new carpeting.
Mm.
They've got a farmer's market outside the church now. Change is always
sure,
happening.
Sure.
And I know that I have written a children's story about the leaf on the
mm-hmm.
tree. I know it's one of your favorites, about the leaf that is so happy being green and, oh, everything is great.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I hope I never change.
Right, right.
And then it starts to feel crimson coming into its veins, and it looks around, and it gets released and falls slowly down onto this mat of other leaves, and it's snuggled in with all of its friends, and it says, oh, this is the best
mm-hmm.
ever. I hope I never change. And then the snow comes and blankets it, and they get to take a long nap, and it's never felt so comfortable or so peaceful, and it says, oh, this is the best ever. I hope I never change. And
mm-hmm.
then it feels itself dissolving into the earth and being called back up through the tree roots and into the sap of the tree, and
mm-hmm.
it says, oh, this is the best ever. I hope I never change. So just watching the seasons is
yep.
God's lesson for us.
Right.
Everything changes.
Sure.
So we can never stay still. Even if you died tomorrow, you would
mm-hmm.
be changing.
Right, right. Which we are dying every day.
We're all
right?
dying a little bit every
yeah,
day.
Right. So this plan, you know, obviously we both believe and teach that God has a plan, a specific plan for each individual. It's an individualized way that we get to show up in society and impact the world. You know, I like to think that it's really driven by the mission,
mm-hmm.
Which you may agree or disagree with, but it seems that if we're clear about it, it doesn't really matter what change might come. I was reminded today of Nehemiah, you know, building the wall in 50-some days or whatever it was.
52 days.
You know, how that focus, that intention of I'm busy, I can't come down here, you know, I'm staying on this, you know. It was that season
mm-hmm.
for his life. He did not change during that season, but the plan was to finish the wall, and then, boom, here's Jerusalem.
And then he had to deal with the people that were inside the walls and outside the walls.
Exactly. Exactly.
He probably would have preferred to staying busy on the wall.
Yeah, right.
Easier.
So that's why, and you can maybe speak to that, but I really think that it's driven by mission, that our plan is often driven by mission.
Right. And if as Christians we feel God is our home, and Paul wrote beautifully about this, that, you know, I am not alive, Christ in me. You know, I died a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and I yearn to be at home. So this notion that we're passing through, but this is not all there is. And so it really teaches a form of non-attachment
mm-hmm.
to things or outcomes. And I think that we all need to remember that, and I include myself in that, that we can get so intense about an outcome of something. But we think, well, what, in 100 years, this won't matter.
Right.
What are we going to be talking about 2 weeks from now?
Exactly.
So just to be a little more patient with the way things are unfurling
mm-hmm.
in life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Good. Advice at the 90-second mark. You close this chapter, Jesus knows every hair on your head and was with you in the womb before you were born. Why not consult with him every day to find out not only how you were made, but also what exactly he had in mind for you to be and do when he created you. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful poetry.
Thank you. I was looking in the mirror today, and I try to stay positive about everything, and I just, wow, I've got marvelous hair.
Mm.
You have to find something every day to praise yourself about. And I thought, what if every day we were asked to write down 12 amazing things about ourselves?
Mm.
Even if you don't like your personality, you can say, gosh, I've got a brain that works, or my limbs, look at my fingers.
Right.
So 12 marvelous things, because we are awesomely made.
Mm. Indeed, indeed. And so thank you, Lori Beth, for sharing your wisdom and knowledge about the plan, and about that we all have a plan. We look forward to connecting with you all again next week as we meet here in studio. And have a rest of a great day and a blessed week.
Thank you, Shelley.